Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. This morning our theme is encouragement. My name is Brent Russett, and it is my hope that after listening this morning that you will be both encouraged and you will be encouraged to encourage. This morning is, this program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. Or you can Google us at Good News Christian Ministries and you'll find us. There's an old fable that says the devil once held a sale and offered all the tools of his trade to anyone who would pay their price. They were spread out on a table and each one was labeled. Hatred, malice, envy, despair, sickness, sensuality, all the weapons that everyone knows so well. But off to one side lay a harmless-looking wooden-shaped instrument marked discouragement. It was old and worn-looking, but it was priced far above the rest. When asked the reason why, the devil replied, "Because I can use this one so much more easily than the others. No one knows that it belongs to me, so with it I can open doors that are tightly bolted shut, and once I get inside, I can use any tool that suits my purpose best." Discouragement comes to us all from time to time. This morning I want to take you into the life of David. If you've ever read the Psalms, you will know that David had his times of discouragement. Those kind of times come to us all. I remember when I was a young single pastor in the mid-1980s. It was my first church. I was far from home. I was far from friends. Things were not going well in my personal life. Things were a struggle at the church, and I was feeling discouraged. I was wondering if I should continue on as pastor. I was wondering if I should continue on in ministry. After a particularly bad night, why is it that the demons of self-doubt and past failure seem to assault us most after dark? After a particularly bad night, I got a call from one of the dear old ladies in the church, Gertrude Shaw. She was one of the no-nonsense, set-in-her-way persons with a heart of gold. That morning, she came knocking on my door and said, "I was praying for you, and I really feel like God is leading me to give you $100. Now, things were financially tight in that church. Before I was a minister, I worked for the Alberta government. When I became a minister, I took a substantial cut in pay. I wasn't making much more than $1,000 a month, but it wasn't the $100 that made the biggest difference. It was that God cared enough about me to provide in this way, to confirm me in ministry, to confirm me personally. Now, that's encouragement. The word encouragement means to install courage. I took courage that day. Have you ever been in places where you needed encouragement? Maybe you are there right now. I would invite you to listen to this song, "Salvation Belongs to Our God," from Kingsway Worship CD. And then we'll come back and look at how David was encouraged.
Praise and glory,
wisdom and thanks.
David was in one of those times of discouragement. He was on the run from King Saul. Saul had been disqualified from kingship by God. He knew that David was going to be the next king. Saul wanted to. No, he felt like he needed to kill David. And David carried a heavy load. You need to remember that at best he was in his early 30s. He had already, through no fault of his own, attained outlaw status. And here's what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam, and soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt or who were just discontented, until David was the captain of about 400 men. What that means is that he became the captain of a whole lot of discontent troublemakers. That's a heavy load to carry as well. These men employed moving quickly from defensible position to defensible position to keep from being detected. And so we pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 23. One day, news came to David that the Philistines were at Keilah stealing grain from the threshing floors. David asked the Lord, "Should I go and attack them?" "Yes, go and save Keilah," the Lord told him. But David's men said, "We're afraid even here in Judah. We certainly don't want to go to Keilah and fight the whole Philistine army." So David hears of how his enemies are attacking Israel and attacking Keilah. So he asks the Lord, "Should I go down and fight?" We don't know how he asks or how he hears from God, but I'll tell you this. The men that he was leading, they were certainly questioned if he had heard from God. They said, "We're afraid of the relatively weak army of the Israelites, and you want us to fight the Philistines, a much larger army?" So he goes back and inquires of the Lord again, and God told him the same thing. So they go and fight, and they rescue the city of Keilah. So David, after some arm twisting, took his men and delivered Keilah that day. But now, after the delivery, they're inside this walled city of Keilah. And David knows that if Saul finds him there, and if the city betrays him, he is trapped. So again he goes and inquires of the Lord and asks, "Are the people of this city going to betray me?" And the Lord tells him, "Yes, they will betray you." Imagine being David. You are running for your life. You take up a battle that wasn't yours because it was the right thing to do. And then the people you rescue are going to betray you. Now, that's discouraging. So David and his men are on the run again. And this time they run to the desert of Ziph. 1 Samuel 23:14 says, "David now stayed in the strongholds of the wilderness in the hill country of Ziph. Saul hunted him day after day. But God didn't let Saul find him. Saul is hunting David day after day." Now, the narrator says God didn't let Saul find David. But in case you haven't noticed, you do not have somebody narrating your life. It's only the luxury of hindsight that the narrator can say what he did. He's the leader of this band of non-compliant ruffians. He's betrayed by the people he went out of his way to help. He's living rough in the wilderness, only one step of the person who wants to kill him. David is carrying the load of a fugitive. Talk about discouraging. It's into the middle of this trouble and uncertainty that Jonathan enters the picture. Now, Jonathan was Saul's son, David's best friend. They had made a pact at the beginning of their friendship and the beginning of Saul's madness that they would be friends and protect each other and their families. So Saul has an army out searching for David. Jonathan is part of that army, but he sneaks away and he finds David. This is something only a friend could do. And this is what's recorded in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. "Jonathan went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in the Lord. 'Don't be afraid,' Jonathan reassured him. 'My father will never find you. You are going to be king of Israel, and I will be next to you, as my father Saul is well aware.'" The word encouragement there actually means he strengthened his hand through the Lord. And look at how Jonathan did that. He showed love to David by going out of his way to meet with him, to find him. And then when he did find him, he urged him, "Don't be afraid." He understood that the debilitating effects of fear. Courage means doing what is right in the face of fear. The only way you cannot fear or walk in the face of fear is if you have a measure of faith. Jonathan says, "You're going to be king of Israel. Even my father knows you're going to be king of Israel. God has called you to be king of Israel. If God has said it, it's going to be so. Saul is not going to catch you." Then he encouraged David by reminding him of the promises of God. He also encouraged David by saying, "When you become king, I'm going to be right beside you. David, I'm going to stick with you through all this trouble. I don't care what my dad says about you. I don't care what anybody says about you. I'm going to walk with you." So the two of them renewed their solemn pact before the Lord. Then Jonathan returned home while David stayed at Horesh, is what verse 18 says. The two of them affirmed their friendship, and then they went their separate ways. Jonathan loved David dearly by going out of his way. He reminded David of the promises of God. He unpacked for David what those promises meant and that he wasn't going to be caught. And then he affirmed his friendship and then left. The Bible calls that encouragement. The Bible calls what Jonathan did strengthening David's hand through the Lord. The Bible calls that helping David to find strength in the Lord. Now, that's somewhat different than what many people think encouragement is. You know, one of the songs I love is a song that reminds me of some great movie moments. You know the song, "Lean On Me"? "Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your strength. I'll help you carry on. It won't be long because we all need someone to lean on." Great song. But it is not what Jonathan did for David. Jonathan didn't encourage David to lean on him. He encouraged David to lean on God. Our goal when we encourage one another, when we instill courage in each other, is to lean on the Lord. You know, we live in a society that has a high interconnectedness, and it gives us incredible opportunities for encouragement. And it also creates the distinct possibility of warping encouragement. See, we can phone, we can text, we can Facebook, we can email. That creates possibilities. But it also creates expectation. We think, well, people should be contacting me, encouraging me. If you're one of those people who are living in the wilderness like David right now, if you're prone to discouragement and carrying a heavy load, I want you to know that you need to learn to lean on Jesus more than other people. It was easier for David, maybe, because Jonathan was more than a phone call away. David didn't expect him to be there all the time, but the time they had together was precious. Encouragement, strengthening their hand in the Lord, is we go out of our way to connect with a person. We remind them of the promises of God. We state what we believe God has for that person. We assure them of our ongoing love, and then we leave. Let's consider that as we listen to this music by the group A Cappella, which is "How Can I Truly Say" from their album "We Have Seen His Glory."
How can I truly show that I love you? How can I truly say how I need you? How can I really share what I'm feeling? Can I reveal my heart as I'm kneeling? How can I truly show that I love you? How can I truly say how I need you? How can I really share, what I'm feeling? Can I reveal my heart as I am kneeling? How can I ever learn your compassion? Covered and clothed with Christ for my fashion. Turning aside, I feel godly sorrow. You confidently secure my tomorrow. How can I truly show that I love you? How can I truly how I need you? How can I really share what I'm feeling?
As we look at our story, the question is, did Jonathan's encouragement change David's situation? No. Did it help him along the journey? The answer is yes. I believe it did. Now, remember, David had fled into the area of Ziph. 1 Samuel 23, verse 19 says this, "But now the men of Ziph went to Saul in Gibeah and betrayed David to him. 'We know where David is hiding,' they said. 'He is in the strongholds of Horesh in the hills of Achah, which is in the southern part of Jeshimon. Come down whenever you're ready, O king, and we'll catch him and hand him over to you.' 'The Lord bless you,' Saul said. 'Alas, someone is concerned for me.'" When Jonathan left, the situation actually got worse. After the encouragement, things got worse. The men of Ziph betrayed David, and what is worse, Saul makes him feel really spiritual for doing so. "Oh, bless you, you are so spiritual for helping your king. You care about me, you're so loving." You know, non-spiritual people will make you feel spiritual for non-spiritual activity. How do you think that made David feel? Well, fortunately, we don't have to guess. In Psalm 54, if you were to read the prelude to that psalm, it says, "For the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time the Ziphites came to Saul and said to Saul, 'We know where David is hiding.'" And this is what Psalm 54 says. "Come with great power, O God, and rescue me. Defend me with your might. Listen to my prayer, O God. Pay attention to my plea. Listen, for strangers are attacking me. Violent people are trying to kill me. They care nothing for God." And then it says interlude or Selah. David prays this prayer. It's obvious that he's still burdened. But does that sound like discouragement to you? It doesn't sound like that to me. It sounds like he's taking his burdens and putting the full weight of his burdens on God. That's what encouragement has done. What it has done, it has strengthened his hand in the Lord. It has allowed David to put the full weight of his burdens on God. I want you to know that wherever you find yourself, God can handle the full weight of your burdens. The psalm then says Selah, or interlude. Let me tell you what goes on in the interlude. Saul now knows where David is. Saul is coming after David with a vengeance. And verse 26 says, "Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side, and they were hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul saying, 'Come quickly, the Philistines are raiding the land.' And so the army of Saul left. David escapes because Saul had to go away and fight the Philistines. Here's what the rest of Psalm 54 says. "But God is my helper. The Lord keeps me alive. May the evil plans of my enemy be turned against them. Do as you promised and put an end to them. I will sacrifice a voluntary offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For you have rescued me from my troubles and helped me to triumph over my enemies." God came through for David. David laid the full weight of his burden on God, and God came through. And it was Jonathan that helped him to do that. Jonathan strengthened his hand in the Lord. Jonathan encouraged him. He went out of his way to connect with David. He reminded David of the promises of God. He stated what he believed about God for David, and he assured him of his ongoing love, and then he left. Now, let me just add a caution about this kind of encouragement. When you're reminding people of the promises of God, do not give platitudes. It has to be authentic. It is not encouragement to go up to somebody at a funeral and quote, "Well, all things work together for good." Not helpful. But it might be helpful, depending on the situation, to say, "I know that God is with you, and I know that He is going to get you through this. I know that He is going to come in and strengthen you." Don't give pat answers, but help people lean on Jesus. How about you? Who are the people who you could encourage this week? Who are the people who you could strengthen their hand in the Lord? It may be by writing an email or a handwritten letter. It may be by making a telephone call or a visit. Encouragement. Strengthening their hand in the Lord. As we go out of our way to contact a person, we remind them of the promises of God. We state what we believe that God has for that person. And then we assure them of our ongoing love, and we leave. Let me pray that God would help you to be encouraged and encouraged this week. Lord, thank you so much for the fact that you give encouragement and that we can lay the full weight of our burdens on you. I pray for those who need encouragement that you would give them great faith to do just that, to put their problems in your hands. And I ask, Lord, for those who can be an encouragement that you would bring to mind the people that they should encourage this week. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, listeners, for your encouraging words and for keeping us in your prayers. The music today, I hope, was encouraging to you. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. If you can help with that, please make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. There are several ways of accessing our program. If you have Rogers Cable, you will find it on Channel 927 at 6:30 on Sunday mornings, as well as over this radio station. Also, you can visit the Good News Christian Ministry website, follow us on Twitter. You can listen over the Internet. May you know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding love and presence. As we go out, listen to this song by the group Harvest, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord."
The
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News